Hi, I'm Andrew Halliday, coach. In this episode, I discuss why can't you change in some parts of your life? What is the secret to creating long-lasting change? But first, most people come to me for coaching in a number of different areas. It could be to do with health, career, professional sport, or relationships. Whilst these all seem different, there are some common themes. Establishment of a clear goal. A lot of people don't have one. Identifying the specific impediments to getting what you want. There are often some simple but underlying roadblocks to preventing you achieving what you want to achieve, and also to developing a strategy that works for you, not one that you've heard other people have, because what other people have as a strategy won't necessarily work for you. So let's face it, most of us have had teachers, a mentor, or a coach most of our lives. And if you've got a goal worth achieving and haven't achieved it yet, don't you think it's worth at least investigating how this coach can help you get there? Click the link in the bio to have a discovery call. I don't take on everyone I speak to, but you could be the one. Okay, on to the episode. Imagine some aspect of your life that you don't like right now. Okay. Now, imagine that part of your life in the ideal way you'd like it to be right now. All right, click your fingers. And the change occurs in an instant. Wouldn't that be nice? Why do some changes occur instantly and other changes never happen? In this episode, we explore the mechanics of change and how you can make change happen in an instant despite the countless numbers of times you've unsuccessfully tried to change. And also too, what are some of the immediate strategies that you can implement to make that change and keep it going? Everyone wants to change. Change, in fact, is in our DNA. We actually have reward circuitry in our brain that lights up when we're presented with something new or different. It makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you didn't focus on something new or different, if you weren't drawn to it, then you wouldn't adapt to your environment. You wouldn't be fearful of something new that came into your environment and quizzical about it, and therefore you may be attacked by something new that was in your environment that you really didn't focus in on. So being part of our reward circuitry where we get rewarded when we investigate something new or see something new or focus in on change is a great thing to keep you alive and also to help you develop. Yes, you may like familiar foods all the time. You may like the familiarity of your friends and family or your personal environment, but we're wired in to focus in and take notice of something new or different when it comes into our sphere. So this podcast, for example, right, you're focusing currently right now to understand if there is some new piece of information that you haven't heard of before or thought of or considered that may explain why you haven't changed or you can't change. And with this information, you may be able to change and solve that elusive problem that you've had for a short or a long period of time. Remember, part of the challenge is creating a change and keeping the change going, but also to striking a balance between that change that needs to happen and not straying too far from who you currently see yourself. More on that later, but needless to say, it's worthwhile mentioning that because change occurs all the time. Just by listening to this podcast right now, you are changing in your body. Your cells are changing immediately now. And change can happen instantaneously, regardless whether you feel it challenging to make any type of change. Get clear on what you want to change. It's one thing to announce that you want to change. It's another thing entirely to know what you are trying to change. What does that mean exactly? Just say you want to change a relationship, for example. It's not working. The person you're with doesn't value you enough. Perfect. All right, great. You've worked out that that is the problem with the relationship. So you go into a new relationship. Excellent. All good until something happens. Your partner stops behaving in a way that makes you feel valued. All right, fast forward several relationships on, and at some stage, no matter what, you always feel undervalued. The question is, what is the common theme here, aside from having many iterations of relationships? Is the common theme that each partner fails to value you? Or is a common theme about feeling valued? Think about that for a moment. At some stage throughout each of the relationships, the partner behaves in a way that makes this person feel undervalued. That's fair enough. It might be a common thing that happens. At some stage, you feel undervalued. But here's the thing. What person needs a relationship to feel valuable? Any idea? Maybe a person who doesn't value themselves needs an environment or a situation where they're constantly getting that validation that they're valuable. It's worthwhile investigating the aim of what area of your life you really want to change first and get clear on that goal. Otherwise, you might find, like in this example, that you're going into a relationship to find someone who values you when in fact the goal should be to learn to value yourself, and any one of those relationships would have been good enough. So get clear on exactly what are you trying to change, and that'll make the change even easier. Get clear on what you want to change. It's one thing to announce that you want to change. It's another thing entirely to know what you are trying to change. What does that mean exactly? Just say you want to change a relationship, for example. It's not working. The person you're with doesn't value you enough. Perfect. All right, great. You've worked out that that is the problem with the relationship. So you go into a new relationship. Excellent. All good until something happens. Your partner stops behaving in a way that makes you feel valued. All right. Fast forward several relationships on, and at some stage, no matter what, you always feel undervalued. The question is, what is the common theme here, aside from having many iterations of relationships? Is a common theme that each partner fails to value you? Or is a common theme about feeling valued? Think about that for a moment. At some stage throughout each of the relationships, the partner behaves in a way that makes this person feel undervalued. That's fair enough. It might be a common thing that happens. At some stage, you feel undervalued. But here's the thing. What person needs a relationship to feel valuable? Any idea? Maybe a person who doesn't value themselves needs an environment or a situation where they're constantly getting that validation that they're valuable. it's worthwhile investigating the aim of what area of your life you really want to change first and get clear on that goal. Otherwise, you might find, like in this example, that you're going into a relationship to find someone who values you, when in fact the goal should be to learn to value yourself, and any one of those relationships would have been good enough. So get clear on exactly what are you trying to change, and that'll make the change even easier. Use your failures as clues. Long-term change will require a number of failures along the way. That's given. But with every failure, you should find a little bout of learning and hopefully an adaptation to help you get further and further next time. And even though you may feel like you failed the same way time and time again, I assure you it's different each time. Try and identify what was different about the last failure. Maybe you quit too soon. Maybe you weren't feeling focused. Maybe there was some additional issue you were dealing with at the same time on that day. When you unpack your failures, you'll discover each failure has some additional lesson. Each of these lessons are useful. Use each failure as a clue to solving the overall challenge of long-term change. Remember, each time you fail and implement a little change, you're getting closer and closer to succeeding with long-term permanent change. Keep at it. Your alignment is off. More specifically, your goals, values, and potentially your fears a little bit misaligned, or maybe misaligned a lot. You know, goals are not aligned with your values necessarily all the time. And we can use, for example, comfort as your age as an example, right? I want to be comfortable as I age. I've worked hard. I want for nothing. And now it's time for me to do nothing hard anymore. That's fair enough, isn't it? I've done all the hard work. I don't need to work hard. Now it's time for me to really enjoy the benefits. Okay. So that's a great way of thinking. I value relaxing a lot more and just enjoying my life, which is fair enough. But remember, hard work is probably what got you there in the first place. Put that aside for a second. Now, you're thinking about a life that should be comfortable, right? So you changed what you value from hard work to now I just want to be comfortable. And you go and live that existence. That's totally fine. In reality, being comfortable all the time leads to a breakdown in your body and accumulation. Now, this is just a limited example, but for example, your body and to a certain extent, depending on how you treat your body and your mind, will continue to accumulate physical waste unless you endure a little bit of hardship. So an example of which are cells in your body can become senescent. That means just go quiet, and they become dysfunctional. And this happens as we age. It happens to everyone. And these cells, when they become quiet and dysfunctional, they start to spread damage by releasing certain chemicals, and that affects the other cells around them, right? So as these cells spread damage and aging in all the parts of the body, that means you start to break down in your normal functioning, right? One of the main ways where you can remove these senescent cells is by fasting. In other words, having periods of not eating. So I'm not going to go specifically into this, but by having a period of not eating, your body literally starts to seek out and destroy cells that aren't functioning properly at a greater rate. And so these senescent cells will get reused and reabsorbed, and their building blocks that they are made from get reapportioned in your body. So it's similar to recycling, but for your body. The point of all this is the fact that by valuing comfort over hard work, and only valuing comfort over hard work, or for that matter, going without in this case, going without food for a period of time, which feels uncomfortable, which feels like hard work, could be misaligned with your overall goal, which was probably be comfortable, but also be healthy as you age. Because once you maybe do get to that stage where, okay, you can have a comfortable life, you don't have to work hard anymore, then at that particular point, there is still a standard or a level of health that you want to engage in that you're never going to get because you've already put as your number one priority to be comfortable. And that is the antithesis of aging healthy. You need to have periods of being uncomfortable. Or you can put it another way, you know, you've put in all the hard work, right? And the reason why you're in this position, because you've taken good calculated risks, right? But you've taken risks nonetheless. And going to the next stage may require you to take calculated risks, but you want to be comfortable. At that point where you want to be comfortable, you no longer take any calculated risks, so you're not going to get to that next stage. Because right now, if you are comfortable and you take a calculated risk, you may fear losing it all. So you stop taking your calculated risk and you might even lose that edge that got you there in the first place. So now when you're thinking about what your goals are, what you value, and you put fear into the whole equation, you might need to reassemble your priorities between what you value, what your goals are, and how your fears can mix up this alignment between goals, values, and fears. So it's worthwhile spending a bit of time to identify your goal, identify what you value, and identify how your fears are steering the two of those, because then you can align those goals, values, and fears and save you a lot of time in the long run. Because once you've got those in place, then you can ask some more valuable questions about how you're prioritizing your time in those three realms, goals, values, and fears. And it's easier to then reposition your life and your time based on that desired outcome with those three elements in play. Focus. Your energy flows where your intention goes. Don't know about you, but most of us are fully plugged in from dawn till dusk and perhaps even beyond. The number of distractions that are possible are huge and all over the place. Having a laser focus has a massive implication on your ability to extract short and long-term change. Focusing on your goals changes the way your brain chemistry works. You literally release brain chemicals when you focus on something new or interesting. And when your brain marks these experiences in specific regions of your brain, it says, this is extremely important. So you can access this information or experience later when you're in certain modalities of rest. So it's extremely important that if there's something you want to change in your life, that you have a very specific focus time when you participate in that activity or that way of thinking or that behavior. Your mind actually takes note and will access these marked memories later. And you access these marked memories later in periods where you're sleeping, where your mind replays the scenario over and over again, once again, provided it's marked properly, it can access these moments when you're in periods like meditation or in other brain states, like when you're hypnotized. In fact, replaying the marked brain memories in the deep rest state, like in hypnosis, is super effective for inducing change, because in that brain state, you're highly focused. So you're not dreaming, you're not sleeping, and you can focus more intently on repeating the behavior or the habit or what you want to change over and over again, and it has a greater impact. Fear, stopping you from changing. Fear is a great thing if you don't want to change. In fact, if you want to stay exactly where you are and don't do anything extra for the rest of your life, fear is brilliant. It actually stops you from doing anything. You know, the good old fight, flight, or freeze. That last bit, the freezing, it's like a rabbit. When a rabbit wants to hide from something, it stays completely still and freezes. It's a protective mechanism, because if your predator normally looks for something moving and you're not moving, you're barely drawing a breath, then fear and freezing is excellent. But what if you want to change? What if the thing that you desire most is to have whatever you get when you make the change, and the fear is stopping you from making the change? What then? You know, fear is an interesting beast, because what person will let fear stop them from changing? What person will allow their goals to be prevented by something that's inside them that is stopping them from moving forward? That's an interesting one. Well, it turns out that fear itself is just a feeling. Provided whatever you're aiming to do or change doesn't actually put your life at risk, all of it is just a thought, a feeling in your body, some type of physiological response, whether your heart rate is increasing, your blood pressure going up, your eyes seem focused, feeling that beat and the pulse through your body in preparation for trying to get ready for action. That's all it is. That's all fear is. But the question is, in terms of overcoming that fear, overcoming that feeling, the only question you have to ask yourself is, am I going to be okay with feeling this way? If the answer is either yes or I don't know, then those two answers are permissive of giving it a go anyway. If you think that you're not going to be okay, then fear is going to win every single time. But if you permit the answer to be, I don't know, maybe I'll be okay, maybe I won't be okay, but in that curiosity of I don't know, it gives you the opportunity to give it a go. If it's yes, all right, I can feel these feelings of fear. I can experience those thoughts, what I say to myself, imagining failure. And even though I see all those imagined fails, that's okay. Or I don't know if I'm going to be okay, then you might be all right still. And that's what people talk about when they say, I'm going to lean into the fear. Leaning into the fear means that priming your body and your mind is giving you, it's giving you the strength and the energy, getting your body and your mind ready to act. That's what it is. So you're leaning into the priming that your body's giving you right now when you think about the change or starting the change or exacting the change and making it happen for you. So all you need to do when it comes to leaning into your fear or overcoming your fear is ask yourself, am I okay with feeling these feelings, seeing a negative result and doing it anyway? That concludes this episode on why you can't change in some parts of your life, the secret to creating long-lasting change. If you've enjoyed this episode, or you actually think one of your friends or family members or work colleagues would get some great value out of this, then please recommend it to them, send them the link. If you've got any questions about this particular podcast, or you actually want to connect, then certainly have a look at the link in the bio and reach out. I can help you with coaching in those aspects of your life that currently aren't working for you. So go off and enjoy this and see how you go with creating that change long lasting for yourself.